Hi, good morning. I'd like to start by talking about chlamydia case rates. In 2008, over 1.2 million cases were reported, with rates varying by sex. Starting with the yellow line at the bottom, which shows rates among men, we see that reported case rates increased from 29.3 per 100,000 men in 1989 to 211.1 per 100,000 men in 2008, greater than a sevenfold increase. Reported case rates among women, shown in the red line, more than tripled over the same time frame, from 172.1 to 583.8 cases per 100,000 women. So what does this mean? It means that we've seen a steady increase in the number of chlamydia cases detected and reported over the last 20 years. However, these trend lines do not represent actual chlamydia burden. I'll come back to this slide in a minute. First, let's talk a little bit about chlamydia itself. Chlamydia was added to the nationally notifiable disease list in 1995, and by 2000, all 50 states reported cases to CDC. Chlamydia is largely asymptomatic, meaning that few individuals will be tested due to symptoms. Chlamydia is also a leading cause of pelvic inflammatory disease, or PID. PID may lead to ectopic pregnancy, tubal factor infertility, or chronic pelvic pain. In addition, as has already been suggested by the case report data I just showed, chlamydia has a large public health burden. An estimated 2.8 million cases occur annually. Because chlamydia is rarely symptomatic and associated with severe adverse outcomes, annual chlamydia screening is recommended for young women. Recommendations were first made in 1993 when CDC recommended screening all sexually active women under the age of 20, as well as women aged 20 to 24 with at least one risk factor. Risk factors were loosely defined and included inconsistent use of barrier contraceptives. Currently, both CDC and the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force recommend annual screening of all sexually active females aged under 25 years, and sexually active females aged 25 years or older should be screened if indicated by other risk factors. So, returning to this figure I just showed, the initial screening recommendations in 1993, the addition of chlamydia to the nationally notifiable disease list in 1995, and full state reporting by 2000, all are important considerations when interpreting case report data. Looking just at the last several years, since 2000, we can actually see a somewhat parallel increase in chlamydia screening coverage rates, shown in the lower figure. Taking a closer look, we can see that screening coverage has increased over time from 2000 to 2007, as suggested by HEDIS data. Medicaid rates are slightly higher. In 2007, they were about 50%, then commercial rates, which in 2007 were about 40%. In 2008, we also saw increases in both of these populations. So, in thinking about chlamydia case report data, what do we expect? Let's talk about the estimate. We estimate that 2.8 million chlamydia cases occur annually. Again, comparing that to our 2008 reported cases of 1.2 million, we can see that there's quite a difference. We know that screening coverage has continued to increase, but is still probably overall a little bit low. So we expect that reported chlamydia cases will continue to increase, and in fact, that's what we want to see. With keeping those expectations in mind, reported rates of chlamydia have been increasing in all racial ethnic groups, but we still see large racial ethnic disparities. We also see differences in age and sex-specific rates. Among women, the highest case report rate is in women aged 15 to 19 years, at over 3,000 per 100,000 women. And in men from 20 to 24 years, a slightly older group. Because case report data are not a good data source for assessing trends in actual disease burden, we need to use other sources. These other sources might include the Infertility Prevention Project, or IPP, the National Job Training Program, the National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, and other smaller projects. I'm going to talk a little bit about each of these three data sources. And we can use these data sources to look at chlamydia prevalence and positivity over time. Starting with the Infertility Prevention Project, the IPP is a congressionally mandated program with the primary purpose of detection and treatment of chlamydia trachomatis and Neisseria gonorrhea infections among sexually active females aged less than 26 years to prevent sequelae leading to infertility. It was implemented in all 10 Health and Human Services regions in 1995, and we at CDC began receiving data from all those regions in 1997. We get data from family planning clinics, prenatal clinics, STD clinics, as well as other sites such as jails and juvenile detention centers. And it's important to note that IPP data are test-based rather than person-based, so we calculate positivity and not prevalence. So what you see here in this slide is the median state-specific positivity in IPP among 15 to 24-year-old women tested in family planning clinics over the last 10 years. You can see that in 1997, the positivity rate looked to be about 5%, and in 2008, it looks to be over 6%. However, these data are not adjusted for test technology, and we know that test technology does play a critical role. I'm going to illustrate that later. When we look at the last 5 years of positivity rates across the country by Health and Human Service regions, we see some fluctuations, we see some stability, and maybe even some suggestions of increases. However, keep in mind, again, that these are crude positivity rates and not adjusted for test technology. In fact, when we look at trends in test technology usage in the Infertility Prevention Project, we see that there have been significant increases in the last 5 years. Only 5 of our 10 regions are reporting 100% NAT test usage in the population that I showed on the previous slides. Okay, we are continuing to explore other uses of IPP data, and there is an analysis that we're working on now using that same population that I mentioned previously, women aged less than 26 years attending family planning clinics. And what we've seen from a preliminary analysis was no change in chlamydia positivity. So if you'll remember, it looked like it might be increasing. However, when we take things like test technology into account, and we use a new method using a correlated clinic-based analysis, we got an odds ratio of nearly 1. Moving on to another data source, the National Job Training Program is the largest and most comprehensive residential education and job training program for socioeconomically disadvantaged young adults aged 16 to 24 years. It is nationally representative, it's geographically widespread, that's the correct way to say it. And the huge advantage to this data source is the screening practice have been remarkably consistent. All men and women have been screened for chlamydia since 2003, and screening women actually began in 1990. And this is the only source that I'm aware of where screening of men is a routine practice. So let's look at trends in this data set. So here we see median state-specific chlamydia prevalence by sex and year in this data set from 1998 to 2006, and the trend lines are less than clear. Among men, you see a precipitous dip in prevalence, but that's because that's when screening was introduced, meaning that prior to the screening, introduction of screening, probably more symptomatic men were tested, and we know that that group is riskier. So when screening was introduced, we saw the prevalence fall as more asymptomatic men were screened men, obviously, who didn't have infection. In women, you also see a strange uptick from 2005 to 2006. So what we did is we investigated that a little bit further. So just looking at the line in women, we noted that there was a major test type change in mid-2005. In 2005, 27% of all tests were NATs. In 2006, that proportion increased to 89%. Here you can see an illustration of what that looks like. The bars on the left are our DNA probe tests, and the hatched bars and the bars with the vertical line represent 2 NAT tests, the SDA test. So as those test technologies dramatically changed, so did the positivity. And a paper that was recently published, which, as Dr. Douglas mentioned, you can find in your packet, there was an analysis undertaken to look at prevalence from 2003 to 2007. And despite what the crude trend lines show, we actually found a significant decrease among both men and women. In women, there was a 19% decrease, and in men, there was an 8% decrease. And again, to highlight the importance of test technology, it's critical in interpreting rates and should be considered whenever chlamydia rates are examined. Okay, last data source. The National Health and Nutrition Examination Survey, or NHANES, is conducted by the National Center for Health Statistics. It's a nationally representative probability sample of the U.S. civilian population. And we get interviews and physical exams, and about 5,000 people participate each year. There was a poster presented at IDSA in 2008 looking at trends in NHANES data by Dublina Dada. And she looked at 4 data points and found a p-value for overall homogeneity of 0.05. This suggests there might be a decrease. At a minimum, it suggests that there was no increase. And there is an additional data point available now, and that analysis is currently underway. So, one additional population that we're interested in that we haven't yet conducted full analyses on is the prenatal population. We're interested because this may be a population less impacted by healthcare-seeking behaviors. We're going to use our prenatal data that's available from public clinics in IPP. We're going to evaluate the data quality and completeness and describe what's happening in terms of screening practices in those clinics. And we're also going to look at how pregnancy plays a role into this in terms of pregnancy test only seeking clients. And then we're also exploring other collaborations with HMO networks. Okay, so in summary, interpretation of chlamydia data is difficult. Reported case rates continue to increase, again, as expected. We know that chlamydia screening coverage rates, while slowly improving, are still low. And overall, when we look at other data sources, evidence suggests that chlamydia burden is not increasing. In fact, there is some evidence of decreases over time. However, having said that, we do know that chlamydia burden is still extremely large, and there's a lot more work to be done. Thank you.